Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Thanks for joining us on the RTC Weekly Download. Well, we're approaching the laughs department for this week. We have a couple of laughs from a couple of different people. One of them is Jimmy Durante. He'll be up in about 30 minutes with a little thing. Jimmy is late for the show. But we're going to start off with Gary Moore in an afternoon program from 1949, The Gary Moore Show. And a little over 30 minutes from now, it's going to be Dinah Shore with her guest, Groucho Marx, from 1944. This should be good for a chuckle or two. Stay tuned.
Hello out there. This is Gary Moore again.
Yes, sir. From a small back room, we bring you a lazy program of pleasant songs and easy conversation. The songs are furnished by Eileen Woods and Ken Carson. At the piano and organ, you'll find Irving Miller and Bill Wardell. This is Howard Petrie speaking, and the next voice you'll hear will be the lad himself, Gary Moore.
Hello out there. I don't know exactly what Howard said, but this is I. This is I, Gary Moore. Anyhow, howdy everybody along the party line. Here we go again. The first item on this section of the program, which, just to be coy, we will call item number one, is the piano duet by Irving Miller and Billy Wardell at the Twin Steinways. Irving, do you have your usual program notes on today's number, please? Here comes Irving. Thank you. As you know, Irving usually jots down our background information so that we'll know exactly what the tune is about. Now, says here they are for today. Says, Dear Gary, this is a little arrangement that Billy and I whittled out one Sunday afternoon while sorting out badminton. Sorting out badminton, huh? The tune which forms the basis for the arrangement was originally an early Egyptian egg-candling chant known as, Until You Turned My Damper Down, I Thought I Was Cooking With Gas. Very good. Our arrangement became popular overnight, but the next day, nothing. So we started over again, revising the melody with a harmonic background formed by two referees' whistles and an E-flat plumber's friend, with the lead carried by a small non-union red cap named Mrs. Harrison. This arrangement was really a success, and under the title of You're Such a Comfort to Me was the hit tune of the musical comedy Let's Call It Quilts.
No, no, kid, you.
And the names Miller and Wardell became household words, like, ouch, and now look what you've done. Well, Gary Irving says, after giving this tune such a build-up, everybody would just think we were bragging if we went ahead and played it. So in our usual modest way, we will play a tune that we didn't have nothing whatsoever to do with. This is called an Aboriginal hitchhiking song, Indian Thumber.
Thank you. Serving Miller and Billy Waddell at the Twin Keyboards in Indian Summer. Now, friends, we come to our open forum, at which time we throw the house open to questions. I know that we have a lot of you people in our audience today who are from out of town who would like to ask us questions possibly about our town, about Hollywood, or about radio, or the people on our show, or any questions that you'd like to ask us. We'll be very happy to try to answer them for you as honestly and straightforwardly as we possibly can. Okay, fine. Now, Howard has the first question over in this aisle. What is your name, please?
Mrs. Evelyn Hyder.
How do you do? Where are you from?
Torrance, California.
Uh-huh. What's your question?
This question is about you, Gary Moore. I've heard you many years ago on Club Matinee, and you did a poem that's one of my favorites. I think it's the loveliest you've ever done. The one about the worm named Motor. And I wonder if you'd do it again sometime.
Oh, heavens, I haven't thought of that in years. Bless you, I shall. I'll tell you this, we get people right in, they say, when are you going to do Elsie the Glowworm or Hugh the Blue Noob? Well, I guarantee you with, you're going to hear them all. I have forgotten about that one myself. I must have it stuffed home on an old rat hole or something, and I'll certainly look it up. Thank you very much. Yes, Ken, back in this aisle. What is your name, sir?
Charles Anderson.
Where are you from, Mr. Anderson?
Here in L.A.
Good. What's your question?
Well, I was wondering how you can possibly broadcast 5 hours a week and still be so funny, and most comedians have a hard job of it with half an hour once a week. I'm kidding.
How did he get a seat way in the back? Bring him down front. Bring the man down front. Here he comes. Come on up on the stage. Come on up. Come on up on the stage. Nice to see you, Charlie. How are you?
Really well, thanks.
Give me the hand microphone, will you, Ken? Let me get over here. Am I on now? Get a load of this guy. Stands 6'12". How tall are you, Charlie?
I'm about 6'3½".
6'3½"? Holy moly, it's lucky. I mean, we're lucky. Compared to a guy like this, you see, when it's raining on us, it's snowing on him. Charlie, I thank you. That's one of the nicest things that's ever been said about us. What can we do for you?
We'll just keep being funny.
Oh, dear. That's very nice indeed. Thank you very much. There are days, I tell you, when I want to go out and shoot myself. You see, that is one of the tough things about radio. I'll be very frank with you. You see, the trouble with it is that you have to be on at a certain hour every day. In other words, when you're writing a script, it just happens some days that you can't think of anything funny. And you know it's a bad script. You know it. But you can't go on. You can't open your show by saying, well, friends, it's going to be pretty lousy today because we couldn't think of anything. You have to go out there and play this crummy stuff like you believed in it. If you could only do a show when you felt that you had something really great to do, but there doesn't a day go by when you say to yourself, gee, if I just had 4 more hours to work on the script, I could make the show better, but you don't have the 4 more hours, so you go on anyhow. Okay, who's got the next question? Howard, over there in your aisle.
Lady here, your name, please.
Sarah Pierce.
Good.
Where are you from?
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is just a note of appreciation. I wanted to thank you for the nice work you did when you took over for Tom Brenneman.
Oh, well, gee, that was a privilege. I tell you, it scared me out of 10 years' growth, though.
I'll never forget the first day when I took over. Well, I say took over for Tom. You couldn't do it. There's no such thing. But again, getting back to the thing that when the time comes for the show has got to go on. That's all. You can't just have a half an hour in silence and say, I'm sorry, we can't have a program today. You have to do something. So I thought I'd try it. And you say a note of appreciation. I want to say to all of our friends who were listening to Breakfast in Hollywood at that time that we would have never have made it if it hadn't have been for the tremendous spirit of goodwill that was behind the letters that you people wrote in. In other words, the thing that I was afraid of when I started that was that everybody was going to say, oh, look, now he's trying to take Tom Brenneman's place. Well, as I told him on the first show, I couldn't take Tom's place, and I wasn't going to attempt it. But instead of getting an attitude from the listeners that I was trying to push myself in where I wasn't wanted, I got the feeling from them that they wanted me to make good. They wanted the thing to work. And that was the thing that made it possible for us to go on. Thank you very much. All right, who's got the next question? What is your name, please?
Mrs. Solomon.
And where are you from, Mrs. Solomon?
Chicago.
Uh-huh.
I want to know if this program is on from coast to coast and at what time in Chicago. I haven't heard it before. I'd like to listen to it when I get back home.
Well, I would love to have you listen to the show in Chicago. Unfortunately, it's going to take very sharp ears because when the program gets to Des Moines, Iowa, it takes a detour through an old gopher hole and comes up in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. We are not heard in Chicago for some reason. I don't know. I inflicted this same type of show on Chicago for many years on a program called Club Matinee. And we do wish we were carried in Chicago, but they've got the shows on at the time that we were on that have, what do you call them? Sponsors? Sponsors. It's you remember, Ken, sponsors?
Yeah, I vaguely.
But as soon as we get a sponsor, we will be on in Chicago.
Thank you.
But don't wait around. Yes, all right, back here, Howard.
This is Singer.
And where are you from? Is
Hollywood.
Good for you.
This is not a question. I just wanted to say that your show is very entertaining and it's very good. You're all very, very good.
Well, thank you. I'm glad we started this session today. All right, well, let's have no more questions, just testimonials, shall we? Who knows, maybe somebody's listening. All right, who's got the next question? The lady back here has her hand up. Oh, can you have somebody in the second row?
Oh,
I was just kidding.
I just said to my sister, how can he be so funny 5 days a week? But you have such wonderful cooperation.
Sure, I don't do anything. I just stand there and turn my mouth on and walk away and leave it running.
Every one of them just died laughing all the time at you, and they hear you every day. I think it's wonderful.
I do, too. Thank you very much. All right. This isn't what I had in mind for the question section. You're embarrassing me now. All right, this lady over here, what is your name, please?
Mrs. Frances Marshall.
And what is your question, Mrs. Marshall?
Well, I just want to know how you can afford to work without a sponsor. Do you get pay or what?
How can we afford to work without a sponsor? Well, as a matter of fact, you see, we are sponsored by the Columbia Broadcasting System. And they have a fellow in New York, a fellow by the name of Zach Becker, who is in charge of paying the members of the CBS staff. And he told us the first day, he said, my boy, this show is too good for to be sponsored. Okay? So we want to keep you for our very, very own. And for that, we will pay you, well, we won't pay you, but, No, as a matter of fact, we are what is known as sustaining, which is a way of saying that we are a CBS property. We are the exclusive property of CBS by contract. We belong to them along with 6 dozen brooms to sweep the hall with and other equipment. And they hope that they will sell us sometime soon. And they better, kid, because rickets are setting in. Well, come now, let's have some music around the joint. Here, friends, is my old hunting partner,
yeah.
Ken Carson, to sing something with a very improbable title, Crocodile Tears.
Yes, sir, Bob, Gary. This is a brand new song. It's not brand new to the millions of listeners who have heard it, but it's rather brand new coming up. You know, it's a It's heading for the hit parade, I think.
Well, good. Let's hear it. Ken Carson, my friends, and Crocodile Tears.
Crocodile tears each time they fall. Somehow I know mean nothing at all. Whenever I find you're not sincere, you hide behind your crocodile tears. You turn them on and off anytime, anywhere. As long as you can cry, you don't care. Telling those lies down through the years with just your eyes and your crocodile tears. Them on and off anytime, anywhere. As long as you can cry, you don't care. Telling those lies down through the years with just your eyes and your crocodile tears. Don't you hide behind those crocodile tears.
That's a new song. Ken Carson singing for you, Crocodile Tears. Found an article in one of our local papers last night that I was very happy to see. The headline here is, U.S. declares war on talent sharks. The reason that made me so very happy is because it is an answer in print to several letters that we get constantly in our mail. In all of our mail every week, I suppose that we must get 10 or 20 letters at least every week, people who have sent us in songs that they have written that they would like to either have us sing for them on the show, or in most cases they say, how can you help me to get these tunes published? And it seems that almost everybody who ever played a piano at any time during their life, or anybody who ever made moon rhyme with June, has written a song. And they all write in, and most of them are pretty upset. They say, gee whiz, how can I get started? And they will tell you about their tough financial circumstances at home and how they're trying to get into the songwriting business with an idea of making some money to get them out of their financial trouble. And I write back to them every week, and I write to them quite honestly. I know a lot of them hate me for it, but I've always figured that the nicest thing you can do to anybody is to tell them how tough the odds are against them. I think that false encouragement is a very cruel thing to give a person. It gets you off the hook personally, but all you're doing is preparing them for a big bump later on. And so I write back to these people, and I explain to them what a very tough racket the songwriting business is. How, as a matter of fact, it is probably the toughest thing to get started in the world. Show business in itself is tough enough, but writing songs is even tougher. And so many of these people, it breaks my heart to see these songs that they have written that come in printed, and on the bottom it has the name of some publishing company in Hollywood or in New York that nobody ever heard of before. Now I'm going to read you this article. It says, Hollywood talent sharks who allegedly prey upon persons hopeful of success in the glitter world of music, screen, dance, radio, and television today were targets of a federal mail fraud crackdown. Four men nabbed in the first of a series of promised prosecutions yesterday were charged with using the mails to defraud amateur song lyric writers. Freed on $1,000 bond each after surrendering on a complaint were, and they named four men. The quartet profiteered by promising rosy futures with $50 to $1,500 advance royalties to amateur lyric writers in advertisements and letters. Actually, only a few small royalties were paid, and thousands of dollars in expense fees were collected from the lyric writing hopefuls. You see, that's what happens. You write into these people. You see an ad in the paper that says, if you have written words to a popular song, send them to us and let our professional songwriters put music to them. So you write in, and they'll immediately write back and say, these are great lyrics. They haven't even read them. They'll just write back and say, these are wonderful lyrics. And they'll say, I'm sure that with a, if you will send us $50, we can get this tune published for you. And so actually they will. They will print up 3 or 4 copies, and legally they are off the hook because the thing has been published. But nothing comes of it. So my friends, be very careful about that. Don't get your music published by somebody that you can't check up on and somebody who isn't established in the business, because they're just playing you for a sucker, and it's a filthy, rotten thing. So look out for it, will you?
I don't know. Thank you very much, my friend. Howard, you're just having the gayest old time ever today, aren't you?
Yes, that I am, Gov, that I am. I'm as fit as a bull fiddle and pies as far out.
Yes, you are from the profile. I'm just out there in the profile.
Yes. Oh, I like that even
I'm
better.
Just out there in the audience from the front out there. You look like 2/3 of We the People. But what makes you so happy today, Howard?
Well, you see, Gov, today happens to be Mrs. Petrie's and my insurance anniversary.
Your insurance anniversary? That's a new one, isn't it?
Well, it's a sort of a little family celebration, not observed by the general public, you know.
Yeah, I understand that, but if it puts you in such high glee, Howard, don't you think you should let us in on it?
Oh, very well. It all began, this insurance business, I mean, it all began about 3 years ago when I bought a new car and took out insurance on it.
Uh-huh.
Well, sir, in about 2 weeks, I was in a terrible, terrible accident.
In your new car?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Howard, that's awful.
Awful? Oh, well, it was wonderful, Gov. It was just Ginger Peachy. The insurance company paid $625 to get my car fixed, and the policy only cost me $80. Now, what do you think of that for a profit, huh?
Well, I never looked at it just that way before.
Well, sir, right after that, I took out an accident policy for Alice.
Uh-huh.
That's Mrs. Petrie, my wife, you know.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But she had it for 2 years, and oh, Gov, that girl was just miserable.
You found out the company was no good?
Oh, no, the company was fine. It was just that Alice knew that I'd been paying for this policy for 2 years, and she hadn't had an accident.
Yeah.
Well, sir, it nearly drove her crazy to pay for that policy and not use it.
Yeah, it does seem a shameful waste.
And I felt so sorry for the girl that I was going to break her arm for a Christmas present last year, but we gave up the idea.
Well, Howard, it was such a sweet thought, though.
Yes, and I would have done it, too. But then it turned out that it wasn't necessary.
How?
On the 9th of November, Alice had an accident. Oh, a lovely, lovely one.
Well, lucky Alice.
Yes. Oh, she'd gone up on the roof to make a minor adjustment in our television aerial when she tripped on a loose shingle and slipped off.
No!
Yes! And my, I wish you could have seen that satisfied look on Alice's face as she was on her way down. Heaven on earth, I'll tell you.
Wait, was she hurt badly?
Oh, broke both her legs.
Well, lucky, lucky Alice.
I'll tell you, when she came to in the hospital and saw both her legs in cast, she was just about the happiest girl in Los Angeles County. I do think she would have jumped for joy if she could have jumped at all.
So her policy wasn't wasted after all, huh?
No. Oh, I'd be fortunate, though.
Yes.
You don't blame us for celebrating today, do you, Gov?
I certainly don't, no.
I knew
no,
you wouldn't.
No, it must have been Lady Luck herself who sat up on your roof waiting to kick the shingles out from under Alice. I hope you'll give her my congratulations.
Oh, I will take them home in my car with me today. Thank you, Gov.
Thank you very much. Happy anniversary. I enjoyed it thoroughly. Meanwhile, the rest of us can consider ourselves lucky if Eileen Woods will come up here and clear the air with a little music. You got a tune handy, Eileen, honey?
Yes, it's a little import from France called The River Seine. The Seine, when she starts on her travels, lazily flows from her source. Slowly her length she unravels, twisting and turning her course. Deep in the country she tarries, not knowing which way to go. Till the enchantment of Paris beckons her swiftly to flow. She goes flowing, flowing, flowing through the open countryside. For she's going, going, going to meet Paris like a bride. And she's cooing, 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 cooing like the murmuring doves. For the Seine has gone a-wooing, and it's Paris that she loves. Elle chante, 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 chante le jour et la nuit. Si sa marche est zizogante, c'est qu'elle esprit a périr. And she's cooing, 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 cooing like the murmuring dove. For the Seine has gone a-wooing, and it's Paris that she loves.
Music by Arthur Schwartz and words by Howard Dietz, Something to Remember You By, from Three's a Crowd, I believe.
And may I say, just the kind of thing that I love to hear you sing best, Ken. Ken Carson.
You are leaving me, and I will try to face the world alone. What will be, but time cannot erase the love we've known. Let me but have a token through which your love is spoken. You are leaving me, but it will say you're mine. Oh, give me something to remember you by when you are far away from me. Some little something, meaning love cannot die. No matter where you chance to be, though I pray for you, night and day for you, it will see me through. Like a charm till you're returning. So give me something to remember you by when you are far away.
Jerry Moore saying bye-bye for the whole gang and goodbye out there. Join us again tomorrow at this same time for another Gary Moore Show with Eileen Woods, Ken Carson, Howard Petrie, Irving Miller, Billy Wardell, and the boy himself, Gary Moore. Jimmy Matthews speaking. The Gary Moore Show is produced by Ralph Rose. Gary Moore.
Hour Show was originally released on CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System, and came to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
You know, men, command performance is like that famous corner in New York City, where if you hang around long enough, you're bound to bump into somebody you know. During our lengthy association with your old clam bake, we've been on the 24-hour alert in case Jimmy Durante should finally locate our address and drop a little gravel on us. But up to this moment, Brother James of the Ample Horn has had operatic commitments, which kept his nose close to the Carnegie Hall grindstone. But the long arm of Hollywood finally came to our aid, and tonight all of you guys who've admired this character for so many years can join with command performance to say, welcome Jimmy Durante.
Each day with a song. Why, even when things, how long can that Crosby last?
Jimmy!
You feel better. Jimmy. You even look better.
Jimmy. Great to see you. Great to see you. But why are you so late?
I couldn't help it. I just returned from a rendezvous with fame. I just stuck my nose in the cement at Grauman's Chinese.
Must have made quite an impression.
Impression? It was horrible, terrible. The manager came out, took one look at it, and fainted dead away.
Why?
He thought it was a bomb crater.
Imagine what happened if Hope dropped in there, huh?
But it's great being up there on Hollywood Boulevard. All those beautiful dames. No kidding. A sailor came down the street with a blonde on one arm. He looked like a cruiser. Another sailor came down the street with a brunette on his arm. He looked like a battleship. Another sailor came down the street with a blonde on one arm, a brunette on the other. He looked like an aircraft carrier.
How are you doing?
Shake hands with a rowboat.
You know, Jimmy, you might do better in uniform.
I'm too old, Bing. Besides, I did my bit in the last war. I was a contemporary of General Pershing.
You were General Pershing? Contemporary?
He held me in the greatest of contempt. We both got over that contemporary.
Smart man, the general.
I heard that insult, Crosby. But I'm ignoring you, and when I ignore a man, he's being ignored by a real ignoramus.
Oh, that's a gross understatement. But getting back to the last war, how did you do?
I was a hero, that's all. I'll never forget the night the captain asked for a volunteer to go over the top. And out of the company of 700 men, only one man, Durante, stepped forward.
Great. How did that happen?
Somebody pushed me.
Doesn't make any difference, Jim, what you did as long as you were there.
I was there and tonight I'm here. But it don't make no difference whether Durante's here or there, because you always know he's there when you hear... Now once upon a time they sang the Bodeo Joe, but that was long ago. Then everybody started into boop boop a doop. They got tired of that, you know. Crosby, I'll give you $50 you show me that note in the music. Boop boop, show me boop boop in the music. Crosby is showing me the music. Too bad I can't read. But the tune for you and me. That obbligato was very unnecessary.
Well played.
Is that swingy symphony? They called it ink. A dinkity, a dinkadoo. Let me hear that.
Ink, a dinkadoo.
It's my number, Mr. Crosby.
Sorry, I was carried away.
Everybody wants to get into the act. You know, I went to the circus the other day, and I seen an elephant looking down at a little mouse. The elephant was saying to the mouse, look at the size of me and look at the size of you. Why, you're nothing but a wretched, insignificant little shrimp. The little mouse looked up at the elephant and said, listen, I've been sick. a dink a doo. Now ink a dink a dink a dink. Let me hear that band. What a band, ink a dink a dink a dink a doo a dink a dink. Why, it's got the whole world spooning. You know, I was puttering around in my victory garden when I sees a little worm stick its head above the ground. It looked around and sees another little worm stick its head out of the ground. I eavesdrops. The first little worm says to the second little worm, "How do you do? You're very pretty. I would like to marry you." And the second little worm says, "Don't be a dope. It's your other end."
Dinah Shore Program, rebroadcast especially for you soldiers, sailors, marines, and Coast Guardsmen. Listen to Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra, the Joseph Lilly Singers, and...
Dinah, 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 is there anyone finer than...
Dinah Shore.
How many hearts have you broken with those great big beautiful eyes? Great big beautiful eyes that tell such beautiful lies. How many times have you kissed somebody like you kissed me just then? I don't believe that you mean it, but baby, kiss me again. How many hearts have you stranded on the dreamy road to romance? Baby, I'll take a chance. I need some loving. I just can't resist you, even though I'm wise. To how many hearts you have broken with those great, big, beautiful eyes. How many hearts have you stranded on the road to romance? Baby, I'll take a chance. I need some loving. I just can't resist you, even though I'm wise. To how many hearts you have broken with those great big beautiful eyes.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hiya, fellas.
Hiya!
Oh, fine. Welcome to our whooping house, folks, and thanks for coming. We've got a very special guest this week, Groucho Marx. And as usual, there's Robert Emmett Dolan and his orchestra, Joseph Lilly and his singers, and this very happy character standing beside me, Harry Von Zell. Hiya, Harry.
Hiya, Dinah. Say, Dinah, now that you're just back from Paris, tell me, how do the women's styles here compare?
Well, the first thing I noticed were these new hats women are wearing with real vegetables on them.
Yeah, they are rather unusual, aren't they?
Well, I bought myself one with a head of lettuce on it, and believe me, I'll never wear one of those again.
Why not?
Well, it looked awfully silly being chased down Vine Street by three rabbits.
Oh. Anybody I know? No, well...
Another change in fashions I noticed is that this year women are wearing trains in the back.
Yes, and aren't the trains crowded this year?
Well, that's not all. Only yesterday I was out looking in shop windows to see what women were going to wear this year, and believe me, it was frightening.
It was frightening?
Yes, either they're going to wear very little or they hadn't dressed that dummy yet.
Oh. Well, Dinah, I must admit we men are lucky. You know, men's clothes haven't really changed in the last 50 years. I know my grandfather, my uncle, and my father were all married in the same suit.
Must have been awful crowded in there.
Oh.
But you know, you're right, Harry. Men don't change clothes half as often as we women do.
Oh, well, there are exceptions, Dinah. I happen to know a fellow who changes clothes at least 5 or 6 times a day.
Oh, well, now, that's a fellow I'd like to see.
All right, as soon as the little tyke learns how to walk, I'll bring him around.
This is you ain't my baby. The way you're acting lately makes me doubt. Yours is still my baby, baby.
La, 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 da.
Seems my flame in your heart's done gone out.
A woman is a creature always been strange. Just when you're sure of one, you'll find
she's gone and made a change. Is you is or is you ain't my baby.
Da-do-la-do-la. Maybe baby's found somebody new.
Could be true.
Or is my baby still my baby true?
Like I said before, a woman is a creature so strange.
Just when you're sure of one, you'll find
she's gone and made a change. Is or is you ain't my baby. Maybe baby's found somebody new.
Is you ain't my baby.
Or is my baby still my baby.
Well, thank you very much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, comes a time when I should say a few words.
Pardon me, sir?
Yes?
Is John's other wife here?
John's? No, I'm sorry, she isn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Is John here?
No, John isn't here either.
Then you must be in the wrong studio.
Oh, no, there's some mistake here. You see, Miss...
McQueen.
Yes, you see, Miss McQueen, we...
Butterfly McQueen.
Yeah, well, you see, Miss Butterfly McQueen, we don't...
Just call me Butterfly.
Well, all right. Miss Butterqueen, we... The program of John's other wife is over.
Oh, I have so much trouble getting to hear that program.
What do you mean?
The other night I tuned in just as the program was ending, and the announcer said, tune in tomorrow at the same time.
Yes, and you tuned in the next day at the same time?
Yes, and again they were just ending.
I see.
And I enjoy that program so much. It's so tragic.
Tragic. It is, isn't it? Yes. Well, as long as you're here, Butterfly, why don't you stay and listen to our program? It's fun. It's a comedy show.
Oh, I don't like comedy shows.
No.
All you do is sit at the radio and laugh, have fun, enjoy yourself. I like John's other wife. It's so tragic.
I see what you mean. Yeah, well, now you take me, for instance. I'm tragic. I am, really. I have breakfast at Sardi's, lunch with Kate Smith, dinner with young Widder Brown, and finish the day with lights out.
What about John's other wife?
Well, she's afraid of the dark. See, I think I made it funny there. Well, anyway, as long as you're, why don't you let me tell you about the Dinah Shore show? You see, first you'll hear Dinah Shore sing.
She's wonderful.
Yes, and then you'll hear Groucho Marx.
It's terrific.
Uh-huh, and then you'll hear me.
Because to tell you the truth, I'll be lonely. I don't mind being lonely when my heart tells me you are lonely too. I'll walk alone. They'll ask me why, and I'll tell them I'd rather there are dreams I must gather
dreams we fashion the night you held me tight. I'll always be near you wherever you are, each night in every prayer. Just whisper, I'll hear you no matter how far. So close your eyes and I'll be there. Please walk alone, but send your love and your kisses to guide me till you're walking beside me. I'll walk alone, darling, all by myself.
What now, Dinah?
Well, now's the time for our guest star to make his appearance. Have you seen Groucho Marx around anywhere?
I've seen Groucho Marx around.
No, Dinah, have you seen Groucho Marx around?
I've seen Groucho Marx around.
Well, no, Harry, have you seen Groucho Marx around?
I've seen Groucho Marx around. Handsome little devil, isn't he? And is he popular? Only last week he had his face on time. If he'd have paid cash, he might have gotten a better face. Ha, 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 ha.
Groucho. Gee, I've certainly missed you, Groucho. I haven't seen you around in months.
It can't be helped, Dinah. I've been going to the burlesque show every night.
Burlesque show?
Yes, it's the only place in town where you can get a hushy bar. But it sure feels good to be seeing you all again. After all, you, a daughter of the Old South, and I, a son of the Old South.
Why, Groucho, I had no idea that you came from the South.
I trust you're jesting. Why, I come from the Deep South.
You do?
Yes, I was born in a gopher hole in Georgia. How much deeper south can you go than that? Oh, what memories. What fun we children had of my father, Colonel Marx's cotton plantation. Every morning we'd go out and pick cotton. Then the colonel bought a combination cotton and rubber plantation.
A combination cotton and rubber plantation?
Yes, and every morning we'd go out and pick girdles.
Oh, Groucho, can't you ever be serious?
I certainly can't. As a matter of fact, I was going to ask you to act out a dramatic scene with me.
Oh, really?
Yes, last night my girl and I went to the movies. We couldn't get seats in the balcony, so there was nothing else to do but watch the picture. I was so impressed by that picture that I brought over one of the scenes. Shall we?
Oh, I'd love to. Mr. Von Zell, if you please.
It is our pleasure, ladies and gentlemen, to bring you a tense scene from the sinister story of a murderer who is trying to drive his wife insane so that she be taken away, thus leaving him in possession of the house in which he knows a treasure is hidden. It is late at night when Bedlington arrives at home.
Bedlington, you're home at last.
Yes, Margaret, and what a night it is out. The fog is so thick you can cut it with a knife.
What took you so long?
I had a very dull night.
Bedlington, won't you please sit down to dinner? I've been keeping it warm all evening.
What have we for dinner?
Cold cuts. Where have you been, dear?
I spent a delightful day fox hunting. It was terribly exciting. I chased that fox for miles over hill and dale. Through the woods, over fences, over streams. And you know something?
What?
If I had a horse, I'd have caught that darn fox. It's cold here. Let's have some champagne. What kind do you prefer?
Mum's 28.
I don't care how old your mother is. What kind of champagne do you want? Where's my evening paper?
Here it is. Oh, there you go again. Always reading at mealtime. How can you eat with the newspaper in front of your face?
Through a hole in Dick Tracy's stomach.
Pardon me, dear. I'm going to the kitchen to make some tea.
Poor Dinah, always holding the bag. Oh, will this never end? For months, I've been trying to drive her mad. I even tied knots in her nightgown, and what happened? She put on my pajamas, and I've been sneezing ever since. But just wait till she finds out I've done away with her dog, the most precious thing in her life. She loved that Cocker Spaniel even more than she loves me. Why, I'll never know. I must admit his nose is colder, but my ears are longer. I've got to be alone in this house to find that treasure.
The tea is ready, dear. Bedlington, I have a feeling that there's someone in this house who's trying to drive me mad.
Heavens to Betsy. Whatever gave you that idea, my little crumpet?
Well, perhaps I am silly, but last night I found cornflakes in my bed.
I see. Did you slip around much?
Yes.
That must have been the sliced bananas. Tell me, anything else of a sinister nature?
Yes, my dog, my precious Cocker Spaniel. He's been missing a week now. Have you seen him anywhere?
Your Cocker Spaniel? Oh, yes. I saw him going into a drugstore with Lassie's phone number in his mouth.
I won't stay in this house a moment longer. I'm leaving forever. I'm going mad. I'm going out of my head, do you hear me? I'm going out of my head.
Well, if you go out of your head, leave your ears. We're short of ashtrays. Ah, what do I care? Women. They're a dime a dozen. A dime a dozen? And just think, all these years I've been spending my money on jelly beans. Ah, now at last I've got this house to myself. How to begin my search for the treasure? First I'll open this closet. No one has ever been to this closet before. Curses, Fibber McGee has been here before me. Let's see now the secret drawer. What have we here? A pearl necklace? Rubbish. The Hope Diamond? Junk. A sapphire? Worthless. But what is this? It can't be. But can it? Can it be real? It's dark in here. A match. If it's real, my search is over. I light a match. It's real. It's real. My search is over. At last, I found what the whole world is looking for. A package of cigarettes. L-S-M-F-P. L-S-M-F-P.
Oh, Groucho. Groucho, you were superb. I never knew you could do a dialect that well. Say, how's your Western dialect?
Why, ma'am, I'm a son of the Old West. I'll never forget my horse, Old Paint, but he up and died.
What did he die from?
Old Paint. I finally buried him out here in the brush. I'd like for you to visit my ranch sometime, ma'am. Well, I got so many cows, I don't know how many cows there are.
But didn't you ever count the heads?
I couldn't. They're always facing the other way. Oh, the desert. Oh, the prairie. That is where this lonesome cowboy wants to be.
I wants to be as you sit there on the cactus with a lonesome little cowboy on your knee.
Hi-yi-bi-ki-yo. Hi-yi-bi-ki-yo. Hi-yi-bi-ki-yoodle for the poodle at my side.
Wow, wow. You're so snappy in your chappie. Oh, my pet.
Manor is the only place for me. Oh, the east is the east. And the west is the west. That's a shrewd observation, isn't it? I wonder why Giant Mind figured that out. It's the one only place to be. Take it, Citronella.
But though you may be just a son of
steady there, gal.
The West,
you're a wide open space to me. Yeah!
gone in business for yourself over there. I thought we were doing a duet here. You know. It isn't tough enough for me to get the attention of the audience. You have to yip, yip, yo on the side over there. Huh?
I'm sorry.
Don't forget, I can't compete with you. I haven't got your equipment. Yippee! Sneak Kayo! Yippee-ki-yo! Yippee-ki-yoodle for the noodle in my soup.
You're so snappy in your chappy.
Oh, Nevada is the only place for me.
Oh, the desert is the place that I desire. And nevermore shall I roam.
So throw another cowboy on the fire. And tell him that I'm I'll lay an egg any minute now. I'm coming home. I bet you thought I'd never get home. Yippee-ki-yo. Yippee-ki-yo. Yippee-ki-yoodle. Yankee-doodle, I love you.
Oh, the prairie.
Oh, the desert. San Fernando is the only place for me.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.